we live in a world reinforcing a lie. What lie? The lie that there's only so much to go around. That those who have are stealing. Stealing from those that have not. Every area of your life, my life, our lives, is affected. Panic, jealousy, and obstacles. It becomes a catalyst for our complaints, a scapegoat for our failures. But what if all of that was built on a lie? What if we're seeing everything, from a completely different perspective than what God intended? What if our view has been completely distorted? What if you could see, I could see, we could see that there is more than enough for everyone, all of us in this world, to find success, fulfillment, joy? How would that change how you live your life?
The lie that our world tells us of there's only so much to go around causes us to live fearfully instead of faithfully. It causes us to really hold on to everything that we've got because there may not be enough tomorrow. And so it causes us, instead of living life open-handed, in doing and calling and following whatever God would lead, it causes us to live with a closed hand and a closed mind to what God would have for us in faithfully following His lead and becoming a generous individual as God is also generous. And so this morning as we begin, I want to just kind of lay this out because I think it's very important, because the Bible says that God's blessing flows with God's purpose in our life. That as we follow and as we do and as we follow along God's purpose for our lives, then God's blessing comes with it. Now, again, I want to be careful, especially if you're a guest. If you've been at Friendship for a while, you've heard me say this every time. But every time I talk about this, I want to just lay this out. It's so important. Because God's generosity doesn't mean that you're going to walk through life rich and wealthy and driving Mercedes-Benz and Bentleys and all that stuff. That is not, I don't believe that for most of us that that's God's plan for our lives. For some of us, it is. You're like, how can we get in that purpose? But the reality is that for most of us, God's purpose doesn't have anything to do with finances. It has more to do with the character of our heart, what He wants us to accomplish. And so as we follow God's purpose for us individually, God's blessing for us individually begins to prosper, begins to grow. And so in this area, God has called us to be generous people. And if we are not generous people, that literally restricts or hinders God's generosity and God's blessing flowing into our lives. It literally limits it. It's like putting a governor on a car so it can only go 55 miles an hour. I remember when I was doing youth ministry all the time, we would drive the church bus. And it was so frustrating to me because the church bus had a governor on it. And if you don't know what a governor is, basically it limits the acceleration of the vehicle. And it would stop at 55 miles an hour. Now, I drove the teens all the way down to Florida from northern or middle of Michigan, which is a long drive, and at that point in time, Florida was the only state in the United States that had a speed limit of 70 miles an hour. Do you know how frustrating it is for a 26-year-old guy driving a bus full of teenagers, an hour 24, having to go 55 miles an hour in a 70-mile-an-hour speed limit? But that's honestly what we do when we do not do what God's called us to do, when we don't imitate God in every area of our life, including generosity. And so we tend to live in fear. But here's the thing about this. Here's the big idea for today. Fear limits our generosity. When we live in fear, believing there's only so much, it limits our generosity. We will only do what we believe we can accomplish on our own, right? We're like, well, we've laid it all out. We've done the spreadsheet. This is how much we've got left. This is how much time we've got left. This is how many volunteer hours we've got. This is what we've got left. We will give that. Because we can afford to do that. And so fear limits our generosity, but here is the problem with that. When you limit your generosity, it also restricts your blessing. Because God has laid it out, we're going to see in the verse in just a second, God has laid it out that what you do will reflect on how God responds in blessing in your life. Now again, it's not like, ooh, and you've probably heard this, if you stay up like I do, late night TV, because everyone in my house goes to bed at like 8:30, so I'm up watching TV, and I'll, you know, turn to the church channel, which is always fun, good for, you know, a couple of laughs. And there'll be somebody on there with a big hairdo and all sorts of makeup telling me that, boy, if we give a $10 donation, that God blesses us with $150. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. Just when, if you hear somebody saying that, you can laugh, or you can turn the channel, or you can do a little bit of both. Just trust me on that. The Bible doesn't teach that, okay? What the Bible does teach is that as you give, God also returns in giving back to you. So here's the other part. Then God says, listen, instead of believing that there's an only so much to go around mentality, you need to believe in the God of more than enough. And the God of more than enough says he wants you to have faith in him. Faith in believing that he is going to do everything he said. We talked about it last week, right? God's promise is always there. He is not slow in keeping his promise, as some men think, but rather God is being patient with you because he wants to bless you in every way possible. And so he says that faith is essential. So if fear limits our generosity and restricts our blessing, faith does the exact opposite. Faith increases our generosity. Faith increases our generosity. If we believe that God is who he says he is, if we accept God and the premise and the promises of God, then we're going to go, listen, God says I need to do this, and so I choose to do that. So it increases your generosity. The more faith that you have in believing that God is who he says he is, it increases your level of generosity. And then as you do that, there's a countermeasure that God says, so then that does this, it expands our blessing. Fear limits our generosity, and then it results in a restricted blessing. We don't get all that God has for us. But faith, believing that God is who he says he is, that God is the God of more than enough, that just because I have it doesn't mean you can't have it or you can't have it. It doesn't mean that some take from the, you know, this group and the, you know, we need to spread the wealth around. No, it doesn't, not that at all. God is the God of more than enough. And so if you have faith in that, that will increase your level of generosity, which then in turn expands your blessing. You say, where do you get all this? Well, first of all, it's all throughout the Bible. Generosity and the idea that we are to be generous people, there are scores of passages and chunks of scripture, not just a little verse here and there, but chunks of scripture that talk about how we as Christians who follow God are to be people who are generous. But one of the greatest passages is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. And it is such a powerful teaching by the Apostle Paul, talking to a group of people who were they themselves struggling to understand this concept. And so Paul puts it in a concept that they can fully understand. Now, I hope today, especially seeing all that's happening around us, I mean, if you live in the central Indiana area, if you don't live like downtown, you've probably within 2 miles got a farm field of you somewhere, right? And you've seen they're starting to harvest. They're starting to take down the corn and the soybeans and all the different things. And if you're like me and you've got seasonal allergies, you're like coughing and hacking and sneezing and all that wonderful stuff. But you see it, right? You see the farms as they kind of grow up around you. We've even got, I think, corn behind us here on the property of the church next to us. And so I want you to see this. Paul writes this. He says, remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. Anyone not get that yet? Everyone gets that, right? You put a single corn kernel into the ground, how many stalks of corn are you going to get? One. Now, what's interesting is that you put that single kernel, right, one little kernel of corn into the ground, and it returns more than just one kernel, right? The blessing that you get from that single kernel of corn may be 6 or 7, you know, ears of corn, each of which has hundreds of little kernels of corn. So he's setting up the idea. He goes, now listen, this is very important. If you put one little tiny kernel of corn, you're going to get more than you put into the ground. That's just the way that God has created these things. However, understand that if you only put a few little kernels of corn, you have immediately limited the opportunity of blessing in your life before you even start. You cannot put 3 kernels of corn in the ground and then as harvest comes around go, God, I can't believe you only gave me 3 stalks of corn. Why? You started the equation off with a small equation. So God says, listen, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. He goes, are you with me so far? Do you understand what I'm saying up to this point in time? If you put a whole lot of kernels in the ground, you're going to get a whole lot of stalks of corn that come up. And on those stalks of corn, there's going to be lots of ears of corn. And so you're going to get lots in return because you were able on the front end to start the equation that God has set out bigger than if you just go, one. It's just the way that it works. He says, so you must each decide in your heart how much to give or how generous you're going to be. It's up to you. If you're married, it's between you and your spouse. You have to make this decision. This is not like somebody going, okay, let's sit down and talk about how much you make, how many hours you have, and we will set a schedule for you. Wouldn't that be awful if somebody, maybe you've experienced that before. But that is not how God plans it. He says, no. This is up to each of you individually. It's just like if you've got this whole area of farmland to plant, you can plant as much or as little as you want. It's up to you. And it's all in your heart what you want to do. He says, now listen, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives how? Cheerfully. It should be a joy. In other words, you go, I'm going to plant this corn. We'll stick with the corn analogy, okay? Because it's just easier. I understand corn more than I do soybeans. So I'm going to plant this corn, and I am so excited about planting this corn. Now, why am I excited? Am I excited because of all the work that I have to do? Answer, what am I excited for? The return on the investment. You see, when you understand this idea of being generous, God's going, listen, be excited about the possibility of what God's going to do, what you lay out. It's going to be so cool. It's going to be so amazing how God blesses you through your willingness to do and give generously and give of your time and give of your abilities, because God has blessed you with those things for the purpose of actually being generous. You go, where do you get that? Well, let's keep reading. And God will generously provide all you need. Now, the next word of the next sentence is what? Then. So Paul goes, listen, here's the way that it works. You have to understand the way that God's laid it out. And once you understand the way that God's laid it out, you've got to determine in your heart how you're going to do that, how you're going to start the equation off with God. And once you start the equation off and you've got the right attitude in your heart, then, and only then, does the rest of this happen. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides the seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. He says, listen, this isn't even about you to begin with. God gives you this pile of seeds and goes, okay, corn, whatever, this pile of stuff. He says, now I've also given you this land, this life to live. It is yours how you're going to use that, up to you. And how you use that will determine how I can bless you back, because if you only put one on the ground, I'm not going to go, woo, 40,000 stalks out of one. No. God did that. When Jesus was on earth, then it was the whole little, loaves and fishes and stuff. But guess what? The kid had to give everything first before God was able to do that. So Paul's saying, listen, you have everything that you have. Everything that you've been given has been given to you by God. It's not even yours to begin with. So God gives it to you, and he says, listen, determine in your heart what it is and how you want to be. But remember, there's this equation that God uses. What you sow, you will also reap. What you plant, you will also harvest. So you cannot ever get more than what you put into it. It just doesn't work that way. And then he finishes. He says, and then he will provide and increase your resources. And then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. And yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can sit back and not have to do anything for the rest of your life. Notice the whole purpose of why Paul is teaching this. It's not so that you can hoard it, so that you can hang on to it, so that you can walk around talking about how great you are. It's so that you can continue to be generous. God says, listen, I want you to plant as much as you can possibly plant, to be rewarded with as much as you can possibly be rewarded, so that you can continue to keep planting. Because that's exactly the idea. And again, I'm not a farmer. I have relatives that are farmers. I, you know, understand it with a very like 30,000 foot view. But the idea is that especially in the early days, you would plant, but then you would also set aside a certain number of your harvest so that you could then replant the next year. If you sold it all, you wouldn't have anything to replant the next year, would you? So you've got to have an understanding of this. You've got to understand it's not. So it's not like, I'm going to give it all away. No, you have to be intelligent and wise. That's what God has called us to be. But there's a part in which the faith in God comes into the equations, and believing that God is the God of more than enough. So I want to talk a little bit about your generosity. I want to talk about how God has called you to live, and what happens when you begin to do it. So the first thing is this: your generosity returns are measured by your generosity investments. Your generosity returns are measured by your generosity investments. I'm not going to ask how many of you in the stock market, but if you have taken any courses or you've paid attention to any, you know, news program or anything like that, you've heard this phrasing before, right? Your returns are determined by your investments. In other words, if you don't invest, guess what? You're not going to get any returns. That's the way that it works. And the Apostle Paul, as we've already kind of just hit on briefly, begins this whole passage of Scripture with saying, the return on your investment is directly measured by the investment that you first put in. Jesus Christ put it this way. He says that when you give, you are to give with an understanding that God will give back to you, but he will not give back to you exactly what you gave, but rather he will give back to you and he will fill the cup that you gave with, okay, the measure that you gave with, and he will push it down as hard as he possibly can. He'll pack it in. I've been told that when you bake stuff, you're not supposed to pack flour in because then it, you know, gets all clumpy and all that type of thing, but God does it, so I think it's okay. And so he pushes it down as hard as he can, and then he fills it back up, and then he pushes it down again, and then he puts it in your lap, and he goes, now watch this, and he continues to pour till it falls all over the place so you can continue to be generous out of the overflow that God has blessed you with. You see, God says that it all starts with your generosity. The catalyst to begin this process off is your willingness to have enough faith to believe that God is the God of more than enough. The reason that I waited until the third week to talk about this is because I don't want you to think that this is like some plea for finances, because it's not about that. And quite frankly, when we talk about that, I always want to be very, very clear that my desire in teaching that is not about, well, we need more of this. No, I believe that God will provide everything that we need as we accurately, clearly, and consistently teach his word for the purpose that he's called us to do it. But my desire is that you experience all that God has for you. And this is an area that so many of us ignore because it's scary. Any of you over the last couple years been scared when it comes to finances? I think all of you are like, oh, crap. We've been there. It's scary. But God says, listen, when you are doing what I've called you to do, when you are being faithful and you are pursuing the purpose that I've placed in your life, and I think honestly, most of us believe that God is the God of more than enough, but I'm not sure that most of us believe we're following the calling that he's put in our life. And I think that may be the reason that we're so fearful. So my challenge to you on this particular one, and the idea of that your generosity returns are measured by your generosity investments, is maybe take a deep breath and ask, am I becoming who God's called me to be. And I'll tell you this, I know for absolute certainty that one of the things that God has called you to be is a generous person. You're to imitate God, and He is a God that is extravagantly generous. So your generosity returns are measured by your generosity investments. The second one that the Apostle Paul lays out here is that your generosity must be genuine and joyful. Your generosity must be genuine and joyful. He says, I don't want you to give under compulsion. I don't want you to give because you feel like you have to. I don't want you to give because, you know, you're like somebody's looking over your shoulder or somebody's told you, well, this is what you're supposed to give. And so you give that out of fear that you're going to be called out like, oh, so-and-so doesn't. They only give 4.5%. They don't give 10%. And you're like all freaked out by this. God says, no. This whole generous thing is supposed to be joyful for you. It's supposed to be exciting for you. You're supposed to, when you're volunteering somewhere, you're like, this is so awesome. Not, oh my goodness, what did I get myself into? One of the things that we tell our volunteers all the time, and I consistently tell it, sometimes our ministry leaders are like, would you stop saying that? Because people sometimes go, well, this is not where I'm supposed to be. I need to be somewhere else. Because here's the thing. If you find your fit where God has called you and gifted you and given you talents, you're going to love doing it. But like if you don't like kids and you're changing a poopy diaper in a room that doesn't have the best circulation when it comes to smell, you're going to be like, and you're going to not want to come back. And that's not what we want. We want you to love being involved where God's gifted you and equipped you. That should be something cheerful and joyful. When you give to something, whether it be financially or of your time, it should be exciting to you to wonder how God is going to use that in other people's lives. Is God going to lead more people to Himself because of this? Is God going to be able to equip more people to be able to do more of what God's called them to do? You should be excited about the return of that investment that comes in. And that's the idea of generosity. It's not supposed to be done like, okay. You've missed the whole purpose of it. It should be joyful and exciting. I remember when my dad was preaching a full-time ministry here in Indianapolis, and he and a friend of his would sometimes switch pulpits. And his church, our church was exclusively a suburban church, you know, a suburban. It's now not suburban, it's more inner city now. But his church was definitely more inner city. And so they would switch, and it was so funny because when they would switch, he'd be sitting, and of course they had like the thrones on the platform, you know what I'm talking about, where the pastors would sit, and they'd cross their legs, and they'd look all fancy and everything up there. And it was funny because they would take the offering, and the guy would come up, and he's like, it's time to take the offering. And everyone would be like, yeah! And he's like, what is going on? And so he asked me, I said, James, what is going on? He goes, well, I have taught my people that it is a cheerful giver. And so when we talk about it's time to take the offering, we celebrate and we give each other high fives. And I'm like, that's awesome. So if you want to do that later today, feel free. Because it must be genuine and joyful. Because as we do that, we're excited about the opportunity and how God is going to use that, not just in blessing us, but in blessing others. Number three, your generosity is never missed or unrewarded. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Just answer the question. How many times have you done something, and it was the right thing, and you thought that the response or the reward was going to be so cool and so beneficial, and you did it? And not only did no one ever notice, you were never told thank you. You don't think it even made a difference. And a little bit of you on the inside died because you thought it was missed. Jesus Christ says that when you give even a cup of water in His name, it is seen and it is never missed. Paul says, listen, not only will it not be forgotten, your good deeds will be remembered forever. Forever. God sees all that you do. God sees your generosity done in obscurity or anonymity. God sees when you are faithful. God sees when you are willing to do something that is not celebrated by anyone else but Him. Because when God sees it, that's the only one that really matters. You're like, yeah, but it'd be really nice if. I get it. I totally get it. But remember that if God sees it, God never forgets, and He is always faithful. And when you do things even in obscurity or anonymity and no one ever knows it, but you do it because you know it's the right thing to do and it gives you joy to be able to do it, celebrate in the fact that God didn't miss it and it will not go unrewarded. Because Paul says it'll be remembered forever. When you die and you stand before God, God's going to go, hey, do you remember when you picked up that piece of toilet paper on the floor in the bathroom on Sunday morning? You'd be like, no, he goes, I do. I saw it. In fact, I paused, I called all the angels over and went, watch this! Toilet paper picker-upper! Because nothing that you do in generosity, in following your Father, is ever missed or ever unrewarded. Sometimes you may feel like you are doing it and no one knows. God knows. He is paying attention. He is keeping track. And He is beginning to build into your life the blessing that He wants from it. Fourth thing. Your generosity is based on God's resources, not your income. Your generosity is based on God's resources, not your income. Here's why this is so important. The Apostle Paul says, listen, I need you to remember this, that God provided the seed for the farmer. God gave that farmer, that person, everything that they needed to have a bumper crop. You may go, listen, you don't understand. Things are really rough right now. Things are really tough. That happens sometimes. And maybe in your life right now, the generosity that God desires from you is not a financial generosity. Maybe it's how you use your time. Maybe it's with other areas and other resources. But just because things are difficult doesn't change the fact that God is an extravagantly generous God and God wants you to imitate Him. And the cool part is God doesn't go, listen, be generous and figure out how to do it. God goes, no, when you are generous, I will provide all that you need to continue to be able to do that. If God desires for you to be generous with your time, then God's going to give you the ability to look at your schedule and figure out how to either carve out time or give you enough energy to be able to do it. If God has called you to be generous in your relationships, which He has, then God's given you the ability to change your temperament to be able to have the type of relationship with that person that you need. You're like, well, I'm a naturally hot-tempered person. God has called you to be slow to anger. Well, yeah, but my personality, I don't really care. And neither does God. God has called you to be slow to anger. God has provided you with the resources to be slow to anger. And well, I'm just not really a good listener. Well, He's called you to be slow to anger, and He's called you to be quick to listen. Well, I like to talk. Maybe you should shut up more. The Bible says a fool is thought to be wise when he keeps his mouth shut. You're like, that's why everyone thinks I'm so smart. You see, God has provided you with all the resources that you need to be generous. in the way that he's called you to be generous. That's what God says. You go, well, I struggle with that. I get it. That's where your faith needs to increase. But unfortunately, so many of us are living in fear because we've accepted the mentality of only so much. And so we hold on to everything so tightly. But here's the thing. If you're walking through life with your hands closed, how are you ever going to receive the blessings that God has for you? It's really hard to catch stuff when your hands are like this. Watch the Uncivilized trailer online again. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's really hard to catch stuff when your hands are closed. So you go, I am so scared of opening my hands, and instead of being a bank that holds on to all of God's blessings, being a reservoir that the blessings of God simply flow through me to others. The problem is that if you don't live like this, you can't receive anymore either. And you shut off God's desire to continually bless you with his generosity. You go, well, I feel like God's given me so much. Hey, remember how God has called us to be generous? We're supposed to be generous givers in joyful, right? Cheerful givers, joyful. Do you know why God says that? Because that makes us more like him. Because when God gives you things, it makes him joyful. Just like those of you that have parents, you love to give your kids stuff because you love to watch the look on their face. You love to see how excited they are. Christmas is coming, and those of you that have young kids are going to realize that toys really don't matter. Just buy them a whole bunch of moving boxes. It'll save you all sorts of money, and they'll be ecstatic. So this morning on your connection card, there are 5 generosity opportunities. Because we believe that God has called us not to just learn stuff, but to live stuff. We can walk out of here all going, yeah, wow, I believe that God is a God of more than enough. But if we never act on it, we're just learning it, not living it. And we believe that God's called us to live it out. So we're intentional, on purpose, on paper, giving you opportunities to respond with what you've learned today. The first opportunity is the Boaz Project. The Boaz Project, you've heard about this if you've been around Friendship for a while. They work and serve orphans in Russia and India, Czechoslovakia. I think there's another place. And they do all sorts of wonderful things. They just built their first foster home or they're wrapping it up. We actually have little cardboard banks that if you want to pick up, if you're like, I always have all this change in my pockets, and you just throw it on a counter somewhere, or you throw it in your dashboard that rattles around when you drive on gravel roads, just start filling that stuff up, and then you can give that to them. They'll use it. It'll be such an incredible blessing for them, and you can, in all this, by the way, you can find information back at the Connection Center. We encourage you to do that. You go, man, I love what they're doing. Do the research. Find out about it. You go, I've never heard about it. You can mark on your connection card, hey, I'd like more information about the Boaz Project. We'll send you an email. But please, do us a favor. Put your name on there. Put your email on there. And put your phone number on there. Legibly. Don't write like I do. Or your name will be Domid or something like that, okay? So don't write your name legibly on this so that we can get you that information. The second opportunity is Compassion International. You've probably heard about them before. They support families and kids all around the world. They financially support them for a certain amount every single month so that they can get school care, they can get food, they can get clothing, they can do all those things. But if you go, man, I'm not really into a monthly thing, you know, I don't want to give each month. They also have this thing called a gift guide that you can get back there as well. It's really cool. You can buy a family a goat. Not kidding. You can buy a family a goat. And it's kind of a one-time thing. You can also buy this thing where they can create a sustainable income basically through that. It's really a cool thing. And then there's right here in Johnson County, the Inner Church Food Pantry. They give food to those people that don't have enough. or that run out or that have needs. And so you can donate time there. You can volunteer. You can volunteer at Boaz, by the way, too. And you can volunteer your time there. You can donate canned goods. You're like, listen, I don't know. I went to Sam's Club. I really thought I liked green beans. And so I got a 38-pack of cans of green beans. And we've eaten one of them in the last year. Take it over. They'll love it. And there's a list of all the things. You can get a brochure of what they give and time and all those different things as well. And there's two things here at Friendship Church that you can get involved with. The first one is what we call our first and tenth giving. We like football around here. We believe the Bible teaches that the first 10% of what you are given, you are to give back to God. And you'd give it back to God through your local church so that they can continue to do the ministries that God's called them to do that you are a part of. And so we say first and ten. And the challenge that we lay out is God says in Malachi, test me in this. See if I will not be faithful to you as you do this. And so the challenge is, hey, for 3 months, if you're not doing it, for 3 months, do the first and ten and see what God does in your life. We love to hear the stories about how God works through that and able to supply that. It's amazing when you are willing to honor God first, what he can do with 90% is way more than what you do with 100%. And the last one is volunteering here at Friendship Church. Look around. See where you like things. You walk in, you may, I love it when people smile at me when I come in. Maybe that's where God has for you to be. If you are a naturally grumpy person, that's probably not where we want you to be. We've probably got something behind the scenes, you know, that we can have you do. Maybe you can move stuff off the stage when the lights are down. If you don't have good eyesight, that's probably not where we want you to be either. If you don't like kids, I think I've got a great spot for you. It's Friendship Kids Zone, and you can work with the two-year-olds. They're awesome. They love everybody. But find where your fit is. Use your time for God's glory as well. But here's the thing. In all of this, remember that fear, living in fear, living scared, erodes our faith. It erodes our ability to follow God's purpose in our life. It keeps us from becoming all that God's called us to be. But when we live in faith, believing that God is the God of more than enough, then no obstacle, no hindrance, no curveball can throw us out of God's purpose, can keep us from becoming the man or the woman that God's called us to be. And without doubt, God has called each of us to be people who are generous and not stingy. Let's be a beacon of hope in our world and our community because of our attitude about who God is. Father, we thank you so much. We are blessed beyond measure that you are a God that loves us and is generous with us. God, I pray that we could be people who are generous as well. That we could be people who aren't holding on to things so tightly that we can't receive the blessings that you have for our life. God, help us not miss out on all that you've called us to do and be. And Father, we thank you for this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.